Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay, bisexual, transgender, or any other initial man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can send me a note at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. I am ending my season tonight of shows for the next 5 weeks, and I'll be on break. And I wanted to end it with the best possible show you could get. So I have a wonderful guest with me who I'll introduce in just a moment. I do want to mention to our women that we are going to be having our healing weekend in Philadelphia in October, and I'm really excited. We have some of the old people coming back to give support and new people, and people who are part of our support network. So if you'd be interested in joining me, please send me a note at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you all the information. So tonight, my guest is a wonderful woman who I've been very blessed to meet on several different occasions in California, Washington, here. And her name is Heather Bennett. Hello, Heather. How are you?
Hi, Bonnie. I'm well. Thank you.
And Heather, I know that your life has changed over the last year, right?
Actually, it's changed a lot over the last several years. And when I was listening to that song, Bonnie, I was thinking to myself, yes, it's a bright, bright, sunshiny day when you're no longer married to a closeted gay man. It's like every day is a bright, bright, sunshiny day when you are free from the trap and the lies.
Yes. Well, let's talk about how that song came about as our theme song for this program, which has been going on for almost 10 years. When I met Heather the first time, I guess in California, was it?
No, actually, I came to one of your retreats in Texas. I want to say it was like Dallas or Houston.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we were in Texas, and you were going through a really tough time there, right?
Oh, boy. Yes, I was. I was really struggling with a man who I knew was watching gay porn but would swear up and down that he would never act out on it. And, you know, I was really committed to my marriage. I was a strong, I mean, I still am, I still identify as Christian, but I felt like to leave him, I would be breaking my vows. And I just really needed a straight shot of reality. And you and the other women there at that Texas conference, really, I heard my own story played out multiple times, and I was able to walk away with that, with the internal strength to get out and start making my plan. I didn't get out for another year, year and a half, but I started creating my exit strategy after our healing weekend, Bonnie.
I think that I tell women all the time that for many women, you have to first be emotionally free before you can be physically mm-hmm. free. And emotionally yes. free meaning that you finally can accept what's going on in front of you instead of constantly
yes.
questioning yourself, am I imagining this? You know, am I making this up? Because, you know, they all gaylight us anyway and make us think we're crazy. And
yep.
so, you know, it's easier for us to fall into that pattern of believing that we are the ones at fault. So until you can really be emotionally free, I always tell women, you have to do that first before you can walk out. Because otherwise, then you go back and you're full of doubts and you never feel right. Would you agree with that?
I do. And, you know, we're so close to the situation, and most of us are so compassionate towards others. I mean, they do have these closeted gay guys have a great way of finding women who are super compassionate and caring. And so, you can't see the forest for the trees. It's really hard to see the reality of it. Like, I remember thinking, oh, I feel so bad. Everybody thinks Jeff is gay, but how can he be gay if we have two kids together? I mean, yeah, he barely touches me, but he can't be gay. He swears he's not gay. He's sad when anyone thinks that he's gay. You know, I'm like his number one defender. So when you're really invested in that reality, it takes not only do you need to have, you know, a lot of stuff in front of you, like all the gay porn sites and all the acting out behaviors that you catch them in, but you need other people to help you see the truth sometimes. And that's why I think your mission, I would call it a ministry, is really helpful. It helps to see the reality of your situation, and it helps get out of the crazy cycle that you're in with your husband, with your significant other.
People do accuse me of being, you know, very straight down the line there, you know, because they look for 10, 20 reasons why their husband doesn't have to be gay. So let's say they say to you, he's only watching gay porn. That doesn't mean he's acting on it. How do you interpret that?
Well, heck, that's what I believed for 10 years, so I totally understand that. That's what you want to believe, because most of us are really, really committed to our marriage, our family. You know, it's not just leaving our husbands, it's breaking up a family system. And we don't want to feel like we're doing that. And the irony is the second that they are what I call sucking cock, excuse my vernacular, or masturbating to gay porn, they're already breaking their vows. They're already breaking up the family system. We're not the ones doing it. They and their choices and their behavior are doing it. But I will say, the more I came to understand this as a wife, and then the more I understood it as a clinician later in my life, the more I would say, if there's no sexual energy coming towards you, it's not that they have low testosterone. It doesn't mean that they're on the scale of sexuality between straight and gay. It's because their sexual energy is going elsewhere. That's the hard truth of it. Their sexual energy is going elsewhere, whether we want to see that or not.
And that's what I tell women. Men are very sexual by nature. And if they're
yes,
not having
they
sex
are.
With you, then they're having sex with somebody else. But
right.
I
or
think
themselves.
It's a different feeling, right?
Yes.
You know, with a man than it is with a woman. So, for instance, did you have any thoughts in your mind that your husband might be cheating on you with a woman?
Not really. It was funny because a couple of friends kind of suggested that once or twice, but and honestly never occurred to me. It just never even occurred to me. We have a close family friend that would house sit our house, and some neighbors, some elderly neighbors would be like, you're comfortable with this woman around you all the time? And I'm like, because I never even conceptualized that he would have an affair with our friend Connie. But honestly, I was so trusting because I am a trustworthy person. I put that construct of myself onto my husband. I didn't even conceptualize that he would ever be unfaithful. It just never even came into my mind.
So how many years were you married?
I was married 24 years, Bonnie. I can't believe it. 24.
Mm-hmm. And how about when it started off? Did it start off good?
Well, you know, I am a very physically affectionate person, and that's why I feel so grateful because my husband now is also very physically affectionate. And those first couple of years, I was very frustrated because I wanted a lot more, like, snuggle, touch, embracing, and I wanted more sex. Mm-hmm. I wanted just more touch, period. And mm-hmm. so I learned to, instead of just looking at rejection all the time, I learned to sort of rationalize to myself that we had like a spiritual connection, and we had like an intellectual connection, and we had these other ways we were connecting. So it was okay not to be intimate, but I remember being jealous of books because we would sit there, we would lay in bed. I couldn't touch him except my feet. My feet were allowed to touch his feet, but I couldn't touch him otherwise, and he would read a book every night.
Well, at what point did you find out?
Well, I remember when my son was little, he was still an infant, so let's see, I got married in 90, I had my son in 92, so probably around 94, I was an outside salesperson for Johnson & Johnson, and I had to use my, had a home office, so I used to have to bill the company for professional calls, so I had to go through my call record or the phone record at home with a fine tooth so that I could be reimbursed for company calls. And that's where all sorts of funky numbers like the 976 and 800 numbers started showing up. And that's when I first heard, when I called this 976 number, I can hear clearly now the rain is gone. And it would say, I can hear clearly now the rain is gone. Welcome to the gay hotline. We're here for you. We'll take care of you. And it was like a knife going into my stomach. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And so when I first confronted my husband over that, he would say something like, well, you know, you were at a scrapbooking party with your girlfriends and, you know, I drank a little and then I just kind of did that, but it's because it's the forbidden fruit. It's not anything I'd actually do. It's just exciting because it's forbidden fruit. So, you know, I had a young child. I had gotten really involved in my church, and I didn't want to believe that my husband had the capacity to actually be unfaithful to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I had other episodes of walking in on him masturbating in our bedroom or masturbating outside in the shed because he loved to garden, and he'd be out there for 8 hours at a time on a Saturday gardening. But I think a lot of that was spent probably looking at gay porn on a phone or something and masturbating in the shed. So I remember walking into him one time doing that, and I said, you're masturbating, but I'm dying on the vine. I am literally dying on the vine and available to you, and you're doing that. And he would just go, it's not about you. It's not about you. I just need to do this.
Do you think part of it is because we really don't understand homosexuality when we're younger?
Well, I know I certainly didn't. I didn't even know homosexuality. I was kind of naive, and I never even heard that concept until I was about in the eighth grade. And I was in Catholic school for 2 years in seventh and eighth grade. And I remember though I wasn't Catholic. My parents just sent me there because I was a sensitive kid and I was getting bullied in public school. I remember praying to God, please don't let me be homosexual because I want to be married and have children. Because I always loved children and wanted a family. So that was my only conceptualization of homosexuality, is that if you did that, then you wouldn't be able to get married and have a family. But I didn't know any gay people, and I certainly didn't think that a gay person would ever actually marry a straight person. That thought never even occurred to me.
And that's why I tell women, if you didn't know, you need to forgive yourself, because almost none of us knew. And none of us understood, even if we knew something. And I'm the first to say, I was one of those people that even if I suspected my ex-husband had a past encounter or two in his life, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, on the West Coast, where everything was wild and crazy. So, people said they would experiment, and if they tried it and they didn't like it, I just assumed that was the case. Why would I think they're gay if they're marrying me?
Why would they marry us? I mean, in my innocence, in my naivete, I'm like, why would a gay person ever marry a straight person? That doesn't make any sense.
And I really resent people who say we must have known something, or they could tell. How come we couldn't tell? I think it's very unfortunate to make that kind of accusation of people, right?
Yeah, it's very unfair and unkind, and it's very hurtful. Like, we're not in enough pain anyways as we're trying to figure all this out. We want to believe our loved one because, we're believable, we're trustworthy, we're honorable, and we take those attributes of our own heart and we come on our spouse. Because why would you marry somebody unless you thought they were honorable and trustworthy and had your same value system?
I think the other possibility is this. Especially, you can maybe confirm this for me. You come from a Christian background. So for a lot of Christian women, even if they would have had any hints that there was homosexuality, if someone's saying to them, I'm praying to God and I'm changing, I don't want to be that, this is not who I am, I love you. I mean, I would buy that story. I got to be honest with you. I would buy it.
Yeah,
not now, but back then.
Not now, but I think,
back in the...
Well, it used to be historically taught. I mean, it's changing a little bit in different denominations. But it used to be historically taught that, everybody has a sin nature. That's how we're born, with a sin nature. And that some people's sin nature leads towards alcoholism or addiction. And other people's sin nature might lead them towards being angry or emotionally reactive. And another person's sin nature might be, leaning them towards homosexuality. But once you believe in Christ, you're a new creation. And so now you can make a choice not to be an addict. You can make a choice to control your temper. You can make a choice to control your sexuality.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it's misleading. And plus the fact, I'm being honest with you, I was always to believe that gay people wanted to be with their same sex. And I had a couple bad experiences with gay men who really couldn't perform with me because they were gay. And they tried because they were hoping maybe they didn't have to be, but they knew they were. So when I would meet, I met my ex-husband, and we did have sex. And so I would think that he must not be gay because I know a gay man can't have sex with a woman. I think that's misleading too, right?
Right, totally. I mean, totally. Like I said, I was pretty naive and sheltered, so I didn't even have much. I had very little sexual history before even coming into the marriage. But again, I just thought that gay people would want to be with gay people. Why would they even want to marry a straight person? The thought never even occurred to me, Bonnie. Never even occurred to me.
Exactly. Me either. And that's what I didn't get, unless, once again, you buy into the theory that, tried it, didn't like it, experimented. And back in those days, we didn't know any better.
Yes.
Today, I know better. If somebody's out there experimenting with men, they're not straight. And, if I've been telling women for a while, the last couple of years, I'm not going to have to call it gay. I'm just going to call it unstraight. Because, I'm not going to fight them on what point of the Kinsey scale they're on. And I'm not going to point... Am I right? I mean, I don't care if you're a 6, a 5, a 3, a 2. I don't care if you're anything other than totally heterosexual, then you're just unstraight. And
exactly.
That's okay.
And you know what? A straight man does not want to look at a penis. A straight man has no interest in another guy's, you know, genitalia. Yeah, so I like your unstraight thing because why go down the bunny scale of does this guy have low T? Is he somewhere on a Kinsey scale? And these are all ways of trying to understand what happened, what is going on, before the scales fall off your eyes and you actually can see clearly that you are married to somebody who is gay, whether they admit it to you or not. And, you know, those that have husbands who eventually admit it, what a blessing. Mine never did at all until years after I left the marriage.
Yes, most of them were in denial for a long time, making you think you're even crazier than they made you to start with.
And you're the bad guy for leaving. Yeah, and you're the bad guy for leaving. You're abandoning the marriage. You're abandoning the vows. You're not trying hard enough. You're the bad guy.
And I think that it's very common that they blame us, you know, for these problems.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've been conditioned for so long, you know, these marriages are abusive marriages, even though it's not the same kind of abuse necessarily where you're getting physically beaten down. I believe that emotional beatdowns are just as bad. You know,
maybe
they do damage in different ways, but they're very damaging. So when you've been told for years that you're at fault for every problem in the marriage, that he's not at fault, you are. He doesn't have a problem, you do. You know, he's not unhappy in the marriage, you are. You know, and turning it all around, it's easy to see why we lose the confidence in ourselves to believe that we're right. And that's where I see so many women linger, you know, in these marriages far too long because they are lacking the confidence. And every time they try to stand up, their husbands knock them down. And like I say, not physically, but emotionally. And it's almost like my ex-husband, you know, I was so lucky that he walked out on me in anger, thinking he'll teach me a lesson, and walked away for a week. And that week gave me the courage to say no. But if he hadn't walked out, who knows what? I was plotting my death, his death. You know, I was thinking about how could I kill him? You know, you get to a point where you don't see a way out when you're living with somebody who's really volatile and very emotionally abusive, and you lose all faith and all sense of who you are. I didn't even know who I was anymore.
You do. You know what, Bonnie, that is the crazy part of it. I mean, I was raised by a really strong mom, but she had her own problems. I mean, she was a licensed clinical social worker. She went to Smith College with Gloria Steinem. I was raised on Ms. Magazine. I mean, I knew I was always going to be out there, have a career, and be educated. And I knew who I was when I married my husband. But after 20 years of reality being twisted and, like, we're not intimate because I'm depressed or I'm fat or, you know, I did something wrong. After 20 years of that, it's like looking at a distorted mirror every day where you can no longer see yourself or reality clear. It's not until you start to get an outside perspective that validates what you're thinking and feeling that you can start to break free. Because if you're looking for your husband to reflect back reality, all you're going to get is a distortion.
I think that's the most important concept, and that's why I often say these marriages are like Alice in Wonderland. You know, you jump into a mirror and it's upside down, backwards, everything's mixed up. And you just can't separate truth from reality anymore because their truth becomes your reality.
Yeah,
whatever
I
their
remember
truth
one time,
is your reality.
Yes. So in a healthy marriage, this is where I would get so confused, right? I would go to church, I would think all these thoughts. And in a healthy marriage, it's truthful and there is reality and there isn't distortion or manipulation, but you don't know when you're in this kind of dysfunction that you're looking at the distorted mirror all the time. So as I started to get really confused. I reached out to some of my old college roommates, and I remember calling one of them after a particularly difficult time with my husband, and I said, Karen, he says I'm untrustworthy, that I have no honor, and I just don't understand that. And my friend said to me, my long-term friend, she goes, Heather, that isn't you, that's him. That isn't
exactly
you. But I was so confused when I was in the thick of it. Because, you know, you think, well, you know, this is a trustworthy mirror. They're reflecting back reality, but they're not. So you need other people. You need other safe people, long-term friends you had maybe before the marriage, and then the group like you have with these healing weekends where you can hear the truth of these types of situations. Bonnie, my mind was blown away to sit in a room with 20 other women who had my same story, just slightly different variation. My same story.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, how can this be? But now it all makes sense. I'm not crazy. I didn't make this up. This is happening. But if you're looking for your husband to validate your reality, it will not happen, and you will never be free.
And that's because, number one, gay men don't think straight. And number
yes.
two, his reality is totally different than yours. So
yes.
it can't happen. He's looking at it through his gay eyes, which is his reality. And I get it. Gay people don't think the same as straight people. But on the other
well,
hand,
I think with,
it screws us up.
It's also like they want their cake and eat it too, right? So, like, my husband wasn't just gay. He had narcissistic tendencies. He had addiction issues. He's probably also bipolar too. I mean, he had so many other issues going on top of the gay thing. But you know, he wanted the security and stability that a married life would bring him. And
mm-hmm.
so at the end of the day, he wanted to protect that no matter what. No matter what he was doing, none of that mattered because he needed to protect the facade and the reality. And so at the end of the day, all that time when I was dying on the vine, he was having his cake and eating it too.
Heather, let me ask you a question. This comes up a lot with our women, you know, in the beginning. They say to me, my husband's not gay. You know, I caught him with this or that. He says he has a sexual addiction. So can you explain that? How is it different?
So, you know, I've worked a lot with women who are married to sex addicts. There's a couple of groups out there that specialize in that. It's really conceptualized as for the wife, betrayal trauma, for the man, an intimacy disorder, okay? But the bottom line is straight guys don't look at dicks. Straight guys don't look at dicks. So if the guy is looking at gay porn, he could be he's probably gay and a sex addict. So you got two problems going on there, not just one. The foundational truth is straight guys are not interested in looking at a penis, and they're not interested in sex around a penis. They're just not going to be looking at that. But they can be both. They can be gay and a sex addict. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, and I have no enemies. And when I see these women married to sex addicts, now most of the time when I'm working with in my professional career with women who are married to sex addicts, you know, I will see the most beautiful women, and I will tell them, you could be Beyonce. You could have the body of Beyonce and the heart of Mother Teresa, and they're still going to do that. Because it was a coping mechanism, and it was a way they got through life way before they ever met you and way before they ever got married to you.
Do you think that gay men a lot of times might use that sexual addiction, ones who say it, as a way not to make their wives think they're gay?
I think they'll tell you just about anything. Anything they can to make you not leave. Anything they can where they're a victim or they're trapped or they're struggling to manipulate our sympathy and our compassion, because we are sympathetic and compassionate, okay? And so I would say if your husband is saying to you, oh, it's a sex addiction, okay, well, you need to go to SA, which is Sex Addicts Anonymous. You need to get a sponsor. You need to be working a 12-step program, and you need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, okay? then you need to completely work on that for 90 days, and then we'll reevaluate. And I'll tell you straight up, they won't do it. They won't do it.
Oh.
And that's how you know it's an excuse.
Do many people with sexual addictions get past a sexual addiction or not?
You know what, Bonnie? I just... Okay, there's a lot. Unfortunately, sex addiction is prolific. Okay, it's gotten really, really bad. Pornography is super normalized in our culture. I will tell you, even when you throw highly skilled resources at it, like the husband needs not just a therapist, but a therapist who specializes in sex addiction. Then he needs a sponsor. Then he needs like a whole support system. Can they get over it? Yes. I will tell you 95% I don't think ever really get healed, okay? It becomes a primary coping skill for life, just like any other addiction. This one, they happen to just carry on their body 24/7. And I feel bad saying that because I've worked with several organizations that have entire weekends dedicated to helping men with this and then following up with them. But most of them will not maintain what we call sobriety for more than 30 days, 60 days, and then they go back into it slowly but surely.
So
try to Google even the stats on what percentage of sex addicts are recovered. It's abysmal. I mean, first of all, it's really hard to find it. It's really hard to find anyone that will quantify it. But last time I checked, it was like 95% don't ever get really recovered from it. The men I know that have recovered from it actually lead groups for sex addicts, but they're, licensed mental health clinicians that have way more insight, motivation, and drive to be healed than the average Joe walking on the street. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I think maybe it's in a way like drug addiction. People who have recovered go into doing the counseling, but even they relapse. And
exactly.
It's chronic
and prolific. It's a life of misery, Bonnie. It's a life of misery, no matter what kind of addict you're married to, but it's even more miserable being married to a sex addict because you always feel less than and not good enough. And then you add the whole gay thing. Am I gay? Am I not gay? I'm a sex addict. It's just a hot mess. Exit stage left. And please, if you have children, get the hell out sooner than later. There's nothing worse than like when my son came to me at age 22 saying, I wish you would have left dad when I was 12. Well, why at 12? That's the first time I saw gay porn on the computer. I didn't know he saw gay porn on the computer at 12. He did because, he's a kid and he does his games on computer. So... those of you that are sticking in it for the kids, I did that, and I really wish I could go back in time and have left much, much sooner. It really damaged my adult children. I have one that's pretty high functioning. My son, it just really screwed him up for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. And every child I've spoken to I haven't spoken to every child, but I've spoken to dozens of adult children. And they all have had so many problems as a result of coming through these marriages because this is their model of what marriage should be. And then in their own relationships, they're willing to, for instance, women are willing to settle for so much less. They're willing to stay in situations where there's no affection. They're unhappy, but they saw their mother stay, and so they feel they have to stay. And I always say, you have to be a role model to your children. And I always say it's so much better not to stay in these situations for the sake of the children. It's not for their sake you're staying. It's for your sake because it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of strength. And I always tell women you don't have to do it today, but you got to start working on it now. You have to have a game plan. You have to have a way to move ahead, and you got to move out because otherwise the damage done to your children is – insurmountable, and it'll affect their future relationships and their children's. And so I totally agree with you on that.
So I have two adult children right now. I have a 29-year-old son and a almost 25-year-old daughter. And they both, coming out of, you know, that disintegration of our perfect little family, I mean, it looked perfect on the outside. Coming out of that, my adult son is very avoidant of all relationships, doesn't trust people, has two or three friends from high school that he connects with, but he's going to be 29 next week, and he just now is starting his first relationship. I mean, that's how distrustful and avoidant he became of relationships. Where my daughter did the flip thing, she started dating a lot in high school, went from relationship to relationship. So this problem of what does intimacy look like? How do we love? How do we connect? How do we bond to others? This problem was approached in two different ways, where my daughter pursuing through multiple relationships attachment, and my son saying, it's not worth it, and I'm going to avoid attachments as long as I can.
So one way or another, it's going to affect them, you know, either,
yes,
like you say, too much trying to find the security they never had in a family unit, or picking,
yes,
the wrong partner because they saw you with the wrong partner, or willing,
yes,
to settle for less in their life than they should because their mom did, it's okay, or sticking in bad,
yes,
situations longer because look how long you stuck there. So,
yes,
that's why I think it's always good to let children know that when you make a mistake, you got to fix it. You can't just linger in it, right?
Exactly. You know, and it took me a while. It took me a really long time to figure out what was gone, what happened. But I will say that once I really figured it out, I then created the exit strategy. And my life has just gotten so tremendously better since I left that I hope that inspires my kids to never stay in something once you know that it's really bad for you, not to just linger.
And it took you a few years to heal from that relationship before you were really ready for a new one, right?
Yeah, it took a while. I can't remember that name of the book that you had, but you had a book out about, like, other abusive relationships or other, like, relationships to not get into. And I think,
mm-hmm,
I think when you go through a couple different cycles, and for me, at first, I was just terrified of men. I, like, thought all men were having a double life or not trustworthy. So at first, I was rather, you know, avoidant. And then I pursued several relationships with men that I had gone to college with that I reconnected with over Facebook. And, you know, one of them ended up being somebody who had really bad ADHD and anxiety and depression. So once again, I was in that sort of helpmate, trying to rescue somebody from themselves thing. And then the other one was a guy where he was unable to commit. He just had his own issues where he was avoidant. So I had two or three boyfriends relationships where there was still like underlying dysfunction where they were not available. They were not available to be healthy, but my heart so longed for that validation as a woman,
mm-hmm,
to be seen as beautiful by these men. And I was seen as beautiful and desirable by these men. But I spent too much time in those relationships. But I had a group of girlfriends that were really close to doing an intervention several times when I was in these,
mm-hmm,
relationships that were not with, you know, good quality guys. They weren't bad people, but they weren't healthy quality guys. They're like, we're not going to watch you go and be with somebody who isn't worthy of you. Know your worth, Heather. Know your worth. And I would say to any woman listening, it takes a while to build that back up, right? I knew I was
exactly
a woman of worth at 20 when I was 28 and married my husband. But 24 years of it being chipped away night by night, month by month, year by year, it takes a while to build back the sense of worth and value that I am a beautiful woman. Yes, I'm in my 50s. You know, I'm no longer 28. I was just turning 50 as I left. I hadn't been in the workforce for many, many years. I did have some vocational training and some education, so I knew what I wanted to do. But the core of it is it takes some time to build yourself up and to know your worth, because if you don't know your worth, you might not marry a gay guy, but it's easy to fall into the trap of being with somebody who has a different type of dysfunction.
Right, another kind of personality disorder, because they know how to find us. So let me ask you this, now that you are happily married now to a wonderful man, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes.
And it feels totally different, right?
It's so different. I can't even describe really how different it is. I would say in one foundational way that I feel cherished. I feel deeply cherished. I would say that that Frank makes me feel safe and loved and protected every day. Like he would never do anything to intentionally hurt me. You know, I mean, he's not perfect, and if we have a misunderstanding, we have to talk through it. He's not perfect, but the difference is this feeling of being desired and cherished and held tenderly. It's just a completely different experience. Rather than feeling like when my ex-husband wanted to be intimate, I mean, it was really like it was a chore. And I felt it was like, take the trash out or have sex with Heather, which is the most like chore, horrible thing that I need to do first. It's been a month. I guess I need to take care of that. Like, take the trash out or have sex with my wife. I mean, seriously, that's what it felt like. And you compare that to being with somebody who biologically is turned on by you, biologically, and then just cherishes and adores you and makes you feel safe. It's a completely different experience.
Heather, I'm so happy for you. Like, you just can't know. You know, we go back to the beginning of the show that Heather was the one who inspired me to put in that song, I Can See Clearly Now. Because at the weekend, healing weekend, she said to me, I feel like singing this song. She says, I can see clearly now. And, you know, all of a sudden, everything made sense. And that became our theme song for this show, thanks to you.
Yes.
So you do counseling, but you also do, you can do counseling by Skype, right, or Zoom?
Zoom, yes, our phone.
I wasn't quite sure
whatever.
How people could get on touch. I wasn't sure how people get in touch with you. I'll put that on this page. You know, if you send me a note, because I know Psychology Today is still the best way when I try to see you on there.
Yeah, no, so I'm actually not on Psychology Today because I've tapered down my private practice because I work as a military counselor on a base here. So I do private practice, but I don't advertise it. I'm just taking care of a few select clients. But your client, your women are always welcome to reach out to me, and if I can be of service or give them some resources, I will. And I'll just tell you to have them call or text me at 714-423-4700. And all I have to say is, heard about you through Bonnie Kay, heard you on Bonnie Kay, or Bonnie said to reach out to you. But, so I'm not on Psychology Today, but I'd be more than willing to, you know, if I can't help, I'll find an appropriate resource, or if I can help, you know, we can just do something over Zoom or the phone.
Okay, so you'll send me that number so I can put it on this board.
Yeah. And I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in the state of California, and I've been licensed since 2016. So I am grateful that I had an idea of what I wanted to do as my marriage was falling apart in 2014. So I was grateful that I had that. It's not the same case for every woman after you invest your whole self in being a stay-at-home mom and all that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't thank you enough for being on the show, and I will impose on you again, you know, in the fall, because your words of wisdom are just wonderful always and inspiring to women. And I really greatly appreciate it, and I love you, and I'm so happy that you're happy, because
Bonnie, thank you for setting the captives free. That is what you do. You speak truth, you ground people in reality, and you set the captives free.
Yes, and I think we all need a giant swig of the truth, because everything's been lied to us so far, right?
Yes.
And listen, if you don't like my truth, there's a lot of other groups you can go to. That'll sit and mislead you for the next 20 years, right?
Exactly.
So why not?
Please, life is short. Don't waste any more of it feeling unvalued, uncared for, or like your trash that has to be taken out.
Yes, and as I say on my webpage, every day you lose to a marriage to a gay man is a day you'll never get back, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, so love to all of our listeners. I'll be back here in a few weeks. Heather, I love you. And,
love you, Bonnie.
I'll hope to talk to you soon again. All right, good night,
all right,
everybody.
Take care.
Have
good
a
night.
Great week. Good night.